Praise the Lord. Wow, what a presence of the Almighty God is in this place. We sung that song about heaven here on earth. Well, that's what we should experience. We need to get in practice for where we're going, so that when we get there, we're going to just dance and shout and jump about. You remember that song? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Oh, won't we have a time? Are you looking for that time? Amen. We're gonna sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Praise God. You've got the best thing in the whole world. God did not bring you out to leave you. Scripture says, I brought you out to bring you in. So we're going to a better place. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, no more crying. It'll just be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, wow. I tell you, I just get excited about the Lord. Because you know why? Because it's my responsibility. When the Holy Ghost came, it came with everything that I have need of to get me where I need to be. The Holy Ghost didn't come with sadness. The Holy Ghost didn't come with complaining. The Holy Ghost didn't come with murmuring and bickering. It came with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, and temperance, self-control. Amen. God has given us everything to be successful, to make it. And we just have to make up our minds that we're going to go all the way. We're going to make it. Amen. We're going to make it. You just got to talk to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? You ever read Psalms 42? David says, what's wrong with you, soul? He says, don't you trust God? He says, I'm going to praise him. No matter what I'm going through, I'm still going to praise God. Because scripture says, whoso offered praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Amen. There's something about lifting up your voice and magnifying God. Amen. Hallelujah. It is so good to be here. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Schumacher and Sister Schumacher and Pastor and Sister Portman. Amen, for allowing us to be here with you tonight. And it's always good to be here to see what God is doing in Racine. I tell you, I just love coming here. Is a wonderful God. Amen. While you're standing tonight, amen, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. The book of Ruth. Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 through verse 18. Ruth chapter 1. Verses 1 through verse 18. When you're there, say amen. Praise God. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of the Bethlehem, Judea. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman, was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast-minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And I would like to talk to you for a while from this thought tonight. Simply, commitment. Commitment. Pray with me one more time. Father, Lord Jesus, we come again tonight, Lord, into your presence with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter your courts, God, again with praise, and we are thankful unto you. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, let us not leave the way that we came, God, but let us leave changed and renewed and refreshed in the power of the Holy Ghost. And we will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. And you may be seated. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Commitment is one of those attributes that requires one or us to dedicate ourselves and to be responsible and to fulfill all of our duties. It means to be steadfast and unmovable and faithful and loyal to every task that we are given. Amen. Commitment means to not quit. Marriages are failing today due to a lack of commitment on the part of both parties. Relationships and friendships are failing apart because of a lack of commitment. Ministries are failing because of a lack of commitment. Goals and visions are not accomplished because in part of due to a lack of commitment. Amen. If we are going to reach heaven, then we must be committed to the things of God. We must get into the Word of God, and we must cling to the promises of God if we're going to make it to the other side. Amen. If you would notice the word commitment, it only has one I in it. So therefore, it means that it requires you and I, or you and me, for it to happen. There's not going to be any commitment if you don't do your part to bring it to pass. Amen. A lot of people are depressed and distraught and downbeaten and stressed out and unhappy and despondent because they're not committed to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has everything in it, as I said early, to cause you to rise up above your situation and your circumstance. The Bible says that the things which are written afore was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture would have hope. Amen. All you've got to do is look. It's in there. The Bible says, in thy light shall we see light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. We've got to get to the Word of God. Amen. And commit ourselves. From the time you open your Bible all the way to the end, there's one stream or one thread that's constantly running through there, and that is the thread of obedience. You have to obey if you're going to make it to the other side. You've got to commit to the things of God if you're going to make it to the other side. But it's too easy today that people is quick to quit. Amen. If COVID has done nothing else, it has showed us who was committed. It has showed us who was true Christians. It has showed us who was committed to the things of God. Amen. The psalmist says in Psalm 16, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither would I see suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the paths of life. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord said to Jeremiah, stand ye and ask, where's the old way? Where's the good path? And walk therein, and you will find rest unto your soul. But the people says, we will not walk that way. You've got to commit to the things of God. Amen. People don't want to deal with unpleasant news and unpleasant situations and persecutions and hardships. But the biggest problem is due to a lack of commitment to the things of God. Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice, and that you're becoming a partaker of Christ's suffering. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, because the Spirit and glory of God rest upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified." You need to get into the habit and commit yourselves to worshiping and praising God, no matter what comes your way. Amen. You need to rise up above that situation and begin to magnify and glorify God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." He says, "We're troubled on every side, yet not despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ might be manifested in us. For which cause," he says, "we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The light afflictions which worketh in you only for a moment, they are working in you a more eternal and exceeding weight of glory." Praise God. You have to be committed to the things of God. Turn to someone and ask them, say, "Are you committed?" Well, that was kind of quiet. Are you committed to the things of God? How many of you want to go to heaven? Then that requires you to be committed to the things of God. Notice what Paul says. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Amen. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. We're always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ might be manifested in us. And that's why I must be committed. If others are going to see the gospel in my life, I have to be committed to the things of God. Paul, writing to the church of Rome in the 8th chapter, he says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For if a man see that for what he hoped for, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We know not what we shall pray for as we ought. The Spirit helping our infirmities, making intercession with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." God knows what you have need of. You just got to commit. Amen. Hope deferred, the Bible says. Amen. Cause you to be sick, but when it comes, it is a tree of life. Amen. We have to commit ourselves to the things of God. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecutions or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted to sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present,
nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Are you committed? Are you committed to the things of God? Job was committed. Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. I will maintain my way before him, for he shall be my salvation. For hypocrites shall not stand before him. Job says, he knows the way that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come forth like gold. Amen. That's because Job was committed. You see, you have to be committed for God to talk about you like he did Job to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth? Can God say that about you? I pray that he will, and I pray that he can, because you need to be committed to the things of God. Amen. Ruth says to Naomi, she says, entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, there will I die, and there will I be buried also. And because of her commitment, God made a way. She married Boaz, and they had a son, and they called his name Obed, which is the father of Jesse, which is the father of King David, which is the father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the flesh, because they were committed to her vows and the things that she had promised. Joseph was committed when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. Joseph says, I cannot do this evil towards God. And we see, because Joseph was committed, he was elevated to the second in command over Pharaoh, behind Pharaoh. Daniel was committed when they signed a decree that no man shall pray to any other god. Amen. But Daniel, the Bible says, as his custom, he opened his window towards heaven and he prayed three times a day, just like he had before. Are you committed to praying three times a day? Are you committed to praying and seeking after God? Amen. Nehemiah was committed when he got word that the walls was broken down. Nehemiah was committed to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls again, and God went with him. He had two things when he went. He had the word of the king, and he had the word of God. When you're committed to God, you will always have the word of God with you. Thy word, David says, have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Are you committed to the things of God? David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and they fall, though a host should encamp against me. In this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle he will hide me. He shall set me on a rock, and my head will be high about mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I open his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Are you committed to the things of God? Can you stand and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation? Can you stand and say, I'm committed, I am sold out. I am fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able to fulfill. Praise God.
You know, Hebrews 11, we like to call it the faith chapter, but I like to call it the commitment chapter. Praise God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, it says. It is the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the things that are made was formed was not made by the things which doth appear. Amen. You can look, you can see. Amen. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiworks. Day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they show forth knowledge. Amen. By faith, it says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by them, he being dead, yet speaketh. Why was Abel committed to bring the right gift? Why was he committed to bring the right sacrifice? Because he was committed to the things of God. If you're not committed to the things of God, you give God your second best. You won't give him your very best. God wants your very best. And the very best you can give him is you. Are you committed? By faith, Enoch was translated, that he did not see death because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. What was it about Enoch that he pleased God? He walked with God for 300 years. The way that I read the scripture, that's commitment. Amen. And because of his commitment, God took him. Amen. You're going to have to be committed if you want God to take you when it's time for you to get out of here. You've got to be committed, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen it yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, whereby he condemned the world and became the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. There was something about Noah that he was committed to the things of God, that God found favor in Noah when everyone else was going wrong. And God says, I'm going to destroy the earth. Somewhere, Noah was doing something right. Noah was committed to the things of God. The Bible says, by faith, amen, Abraham, when he was called of God to go out into a place that he would have to receive as an inheritance, went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, which had the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. Abraham was committed to the things of God. Through faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed when she was past age, for she judged him faithful that had promised. Therefore spring forth even as one, and as good as dead. But the stars in the heaven and multitude, and the sand by the seashore innumerable, these all died, having received not the promise, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, and declared plainly that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek for a country. For if they had been mindful of that country from which they had come out of, they may have had opportunity to return therein. But now they seek for a better country, that is a heavenly, where God is
not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They was committed from the time they heard the truth, from the time they heard the word of God. When God called them out, they committed themselves to the thing. Are you committed? From the time you got baptized, have you been committed? Commitment. You've got an end state. See, you've got to keep going. No matter the trial, no matter the circumstance, no matter what you're going through in your life, see, there's an end state. There's a destination on the end. Heaven is waiting. And so, therefore, you have to commit. Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with God and Christ. Amen. You've got to be committed to this thing, amen. By faith, when God tried Abraham, he told him to offer up Isaac, his only begotten son. But because Abraham was committed, he did not waver. He did not stagger at the promises and the things of God. He committed himself and did what God asked of him to do. And we have such a greater crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sins which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you committed? Are you committed to God? Are you committed to the church? Are you committed to the things and the ways of God? Ruth says, don't you entreat me to leave you. Where you go, I'm going. Praise God. What a vow to make. Have you made God a vow? From the time the Apostle Paul in Acts 9 was struck down by the Lord Jesus Christ, and blind, when Paul heard a voice and Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I'm Jesus whom you persecute, and it's hard to kick against the pricks. Notice what Paul's next question is. Lord, what will you have me to do? Did you ask God that? When you came out of the waters of baptism, did you ask God what he wanted you to do? When is the last time you've asked God what he wants you to do? Because, see, if you don't know what God wants you to do, you're going to be staggering back and forth. You're not going to be committed to the things of God. That's why you read about Paul and such a man of commitment. Notice what Paul says. He had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God to take it away 3 times, and he would not take it away. So what did Paul do? Most of us would have said, I'm not going to serve God. He won't help me. He won't deliver me. He won't take away my thorn out of my flesh. Amen. But God's told Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen. That's all you need when you're going through things in your life, is to know that God's grace is sufficient for you. The grace of God, which bringeth salvation, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteous grace in this present world. Grace, amen, will teach you. Grace will lead you. And grace will bring you home. Amen. The Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Whatever you're going through, all you've got to do is commit to God. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Isaiah said, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. Wherefore he said, this is the rest which shall call the weary the rest, and this is the refreshing, but they will not hear. You've got to understand that the Holy Ghost is the rest for you. It is the Holy Ghost that gives you comfort and power. The last time I read the scripture, Jesus says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Are you using your power? Are you committed to the things of God? What do you think David says in Psalms 18? I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. See, the scripture says the things was written before was written for your learning. See, that's why your pastor said, read your Bible through every year. Read your Bible. Come to church, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. See, that's commitment. You should beat the pastor to church. That's commitment. See, you have to commit to this thing. You don't need somebody. What, you remember that old song, I choose to be a Christian? I choose to be like him. Ain't nobody making me do it. This is how I choose to live. You decide for you, and I'll decide for me. And since the choice is mine, this is how I choose to live. Amen. Praise God. I choose to be a Christian. Nobody's making me do this. Amen. It's because of the love of God. When I look back over my life and think things over, I can truly say I've been blessed. I've got a testimony that, amen, Josh Baldwin just wrote a song not long ago. It says, I see the evidence of his goodness all over my life. I can see his promises and fulfillment all over my life. You know why? Because I'm committed to God. I made him a promise 37 years ago. God, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Your people is going to be my people. Your church is going to be my church. I'm going to commit and dedicate myself to God, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels are beckoning me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Are you committed for heaven? Are you committed to go to heaven? Are you committed to have the best marriage there ever been? Hello? Come on. Praise God. It's in your sandbox. It's in your sandbox. See, because it takes two for it to happen. And each one of you have to commit to the marriage. If your husband ain't what you want him to be, then you need to commit to help him get there. If she's not what you want, you need to help her, be committed to help her get there. Amen. You know what? The Lord says you become one, right?
Are you committed? Are you committed to reading your Bible through every year? Look, it's in there, right in the Word of God. Your life is in this book. You just got to find it. You've got to search it out. Your pastor started out, he says, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. But do you read the other 10 verses up top before that? You know what God told him? He says, you're going into captivity for 70 years. Don't sound like a good promise there, does it? You're going into captivity for 70 years. That's what God tells him. He says, but when you get there, I don't want you complaining. I don't want you murmuring. I don't want you bickering. He says, I want you to get married. I want you to have kids. Give your daughters the husband. Husbands. Your sons, the women, to make to reproduce, build houses. That's what God tells them to do. And then he says, because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. See, he gives them some things they need to do up front to get the promises of God. See, Israel could have just walked straight into the promised land. But they had to learn to trust God. And they was not willing to trust him. They want to keep leaning to their own understanding. You see, you have to commit. That's why the Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. See, you have to commit to the Word of God and the things of God and do what God is asking you, amen, and not lean to your own understanding. And all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, amen. Are you committed to the things of God, amen? The disciples had to learn to be committed to the things of God. They struggled at the onset, but they finally got it together. Amen. And Jesus, after the resurrection, he tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise that you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They had to commit to what God told them to do. And the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and one place, and suddenly there came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like out of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. It required them to commit to the things that God told them to do in order to get the promises of God. Heaven is a promise, but you're not going to get there if you're not committed. You have to commit yourself 100% to the things of God. Let's stand this evening. Praise God. Are you committed? Paul told the church of Galatia, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yokes of bondage. That's commitment. Notice, don't go back to the old way of life. That's what kept getting Israel in trouble. They just want to keep going back to Egypt. They want to keep going back. They want to keep going back. They want to keep going back. And when it was time for them to enter in the promised land, they did not have enough faith to believe God to do anything. When the 10 spies says, the giants is bigger than we are, They just fell down weeping, crying. Oh, wish you'd have left us die. Would we have died?
See, that's what murmuring and complaining does. The Bible says, I complain and I become overwhelmed. See, I can't see what God is doing when I'm complaining and murmuring and not content. See, all I'm doing is seeing the evil, seeing the negative. I was talking to a lady the other day and where our chaplain at, and there when I first started going there, everything was just negative, negative, negative from her. And I was trying to encourage her. I said, Meg, you can do this. You can complete your degree, Meg. God will help you. You just put some effort in. Don't let go. You can do this. You can finish your CPA degree. Don't lose hope. I says, you got to start looking through a different lens. I says, Meg, you ever had your eyes checked? She says, yes. See, you know that machine they put in front of you, the optometry says, which is clear, one or two, A or B? I say, they're trying to get your focus in line. I said, that's what you got to start doing. Is you got to start looking through a different lens. And that's the same thing for us in the church. We got to look through the lens of Christ and not the lens of the world. We keep looking at the lens through the world's lens, and everything is obscure and everything is evil and everything is negative, and so we won't commit to the house and the things of God because all we're seeing is negative. The Bible already tells us that the wicked is not going to live out half his days. So we just have to wait for God. That's why I pray, God, whatever it takes to bring them to their knees, because I don't want them to perish, because, hell's a long time. So see, this is why we got to look in here constantly to get our focus of what God is trying to do. What do you think Daniel was committed to pray? Because he had already seen what God had done for him. He had built enough faith to trust God. Commitment. Paul says, I know who I was. Paul says, I was an injurer. I was a murderer. I killed people. I jailed people. He said, but God was merciful. And because that, he was committed. He says, of the Jews, five times received thy 40 stripes, save one. It was three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Amen. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeying often. And perils of waters. And perils of robbers, and perils of heathen, and perils of my own countrymen, perils of the sea, and perils in the wilderness, perils upon false brethren, naked and cold, hunger and thirst, beside those things that would have without, those things which come upon me, Paul says, the cares of the whole church. He says, but none of those things moved me. And neither did I count my life dear to me, that I might finish my course in the ministry which I had received of God to testify of the gospel of God. Nothing stopped Paul. He was committed. And you know what? Paul ain't any different than you and I. He just made up his mind. He just committed himself to the things of God. And look what God did in his life. He's the author of almost the whole New Testament Bible. Because he was committed.
Moses chose to suffer with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. For he had recompense to the reward. Moses says, there's something better. Yeah, Egypt could be mine and I could be the next. He says, but nah, there's something better. He was committed to the things of God. And what more, Scripture says, shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Samson, David, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought the righteousness, shut the mouths of lions, received promises, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the alien. Think about it. What will God do in your life if you just commit to Him? What will God do in your life if you commit yourself to God? It would have been easy for Ruth to go back. Her husband's dead, her father-in-law is dead, mother-in-law don't have anything. But because she had vowed that this is going to be my family, and your God is going to be my God. And because she committed, you read the story. You see how God began to make a way where there seems to be no way. And Ruth, an outcast, find herself in the lineage line of the Savior of the whole world. Are you committed? If you're here tonight and you don't have the Holy Ghost, all it takes is just a little commitment. You just come down and commit your life to God. So all you got to do is just tell God, Lord, here am I. I give myself away so you can use me. And he will fill you. If you've never been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, commit. Because the scripture says, baptism doth now save us. Not the washing away the filth of the flesh. It is an answer of a good conscience towards God. You need to be baptized and you need the Holy Ghost. That's what it says here. I want to encourage every one of us tonight. If you're not committed, I want you to make a commitment to God that this place is going to be my house forever. Till the Lord takes me, if God move me somewhere else, this is where I'm going to be. And I'm going to commit myself to be at the house of God every service. Unless there's a good reason why I can't be there, then I'll let the pastor know why I'm not going to be there. But you need to commit yourselves to the things of God. If your marriage is a little bit upside down, bring your wife and husband together and just hold each other and make a new vow and commitment to serve God together with a pure heart fervently. Praise God. Just commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him have his way in your life tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God.